us down by accident. Hello, my friends. It's Andy and Hedy coming to you live from Orange County, California.
We're a little off-centered, huh?
We are.
It's okay. You're kind of cut off.
It's okay. Well, the people on the podcast can't tell.
No.
The audio version of this. I wanted to share a couple things because we were telling people about the California Parent Alliance for a period of time. And then we kind of didn't do it because we were busy doing some stuff. There's a little bit of a transition. One of those transitions is what, Hedia?
Is you are the new president of California Parent Alliance.
Yes. Yay! Where's it? Wait, where's the little phone sound? It's there. The volume's not up.
Here we go. Okay.
Yeah, we just can't hear it because we don't have headphones on.
Okay.
And now you can hit the button again. There you go. Yes. And so with being the president, so now you can call me Mr. President.
Yes, Mr. President.
Yes. It's very important. You know what? I've really got to fix this because it's really bugging me. Hold on. Sorry, I got to fix it.
There we go.
Is that there were a lot of changes that need to be made. And coincidentally, at the same time, these changes, the URL, the domain, all these things had to be changed. And so right now, if you go to this URL, CaliforniaParentAlliance.org, it's going to give you an error and say that it doesn't exist. And that,
so why are you advertising it now?
I'm just telling them because there is they may have like, hey, I went to go see what this news was because you guys haven't been talking about it, but the website isn't working anymore. Yes. It's because we're making a little bit of a transition. So
shouldn't we take the frame down then?
No, because it's still going to be valid. We just have to make the changes.
Okay.
I just thought there might be somebody that might be going there from previous shows. And on our podcast, we've been talking about it. And there's a link now in the description.
Okay. But don't go there now, folks. Yeah. The website's down.
Website's down because we're moving it and it'll look completely different than it did before you went there the last time. But that's what's happening. So the good news is I am now the president of the California Parent Alliance. The bad news is that everything is down temporarily while we make some changes and fix it and make it updated version. So that's what's happening. But good things are happening.
Yes.
Wow. There's a little bit of work going on in the backgrounds as we take over a new organization. Of course, that's going to be the thing. All right. So let's get to the devotional. We're reading from Smith Wigglesworth devotional. Get your version of the book. You can find it anywhere. They sell books. And I was going to say the communist Amazon, but I held back. So I didn't want to say that.
I think christianbooks.com they sell.
Oh, yeah. christianbooks.com. Go there. That'd be a great place to go. And today's devotional is October 25th. The title is Ask God for Wisdom. The first bit of wisdom that I got in doing this devotional is that I'm going to read half and Hedy is going to read the other half. And you're going to be thankful for that because it's a very long devotional. The reference is James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him.
Amen.
The scripture reading is James 1. Smith says in this devotional, many people come to me and ask if I will pray for them to have faith. I want to encourage them, but I cannot depart from God's word. I cannot grant people faith. But by the power of the Spirit, I can stimulate you until you dare to believe and rest on the authority of God's word. The Spirit of the living God quickens you, and I see that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. This is a living word of faith. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally. You will never find that God ever judges you for the wisdom he gives you or for the blessing he gives you. He makes it so that when you come to him again, he gives again, never asking what you did with that, what he gave you before.
Such an important thought, right?
Yeah. That is the way God gives. God gives to all liberally and without reproach. So you have a chance to today to come for much more. Do you want wisdom? Ask of God. You have to be in the right condition for asking. This is the condition. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. Mm. I am satisfied that God, who is the builder of divine order, never brings confusion into his order. It is only when things are out of order that God brings confusion. God brought confusion upon the men who were building the Tower of Babel because they were out of order. What were they doing? They were trying to get into heaven by a way what was not God's way, and they were thieves and robbers. So he turned their language to confusion. There is a way into the kingdom of heaven, and it is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you want this divine order in your life, if you want wisdom, you have to come to God believing. I want to impress upon you the fact, and I am learning it more every day, that if you ask six times for anything just for the sake of asking, it shows you are an unbelieving person. If you really believe, you will ask God and know that he has abundance for your every need. But if you go right in the face of belief and ask six times, he knows very well that you do not mean what you ask, so you do not get it.
If you would really get down to business about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and ask God once and definitely to fill you believing it, what would you do? You would begin to praise him for it is because you know he had given it. If you ask God once for healing, you will get it. But if you ask 1,000 times a day until you don't even know what you're asking, you'll get nothing. If you would ask God for your healing now and begin praising him because he never breaks his word, you would go out of here perfect. Only believe. That's Mark 36. God wants to promote us. He wants us to get away from our own thoughts and our own foolishness and get to a definite place, believing that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Have you reached that place where you dare to do this? Have you come to a place where you're no longer going to murmur when you're undergoing a trial? Are you going to go around weeping, telling people about it? Or are you going to say, thank you, Lord, for putting me on the top? A great number of ministers and evangelists do not get checks sent to them any longer because they didn't thank the donor for the last one. A thankful heart is a receiving heart. God wants to keep you in the place of constant believing. Keep on believing Jesus is near. Keep on believing there's nothing to fear. Keep on believing this is the way. Faith in the night, the same as the day. So the thought for today is God does not honor unbelief. He honors faith. That is so good. I love that.
I love really actually learning this whole Genesis 11, 1, right? 9 about Babel.
Yes. I loved learning that story. It just made like life come into focus. It's great. So for any of you that haven't, we're going to read that today, Genesis 11, 1 through 9. Just so you could better understand how we all ended up with so many languages.
Hello, Brenda Young.
Hi, Brenda.
Nice to have you. Just like Brenda, if you would comment, that would be awesome. That would help other people see this broadcast, whatever platform they're in. We're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and now Rumble. We are broadcasting live on Rumble. And any of those platforms, if you type in Living Fearless Devotional, you'll be able to find it. So just like Brenda there, just make sure and comment because that really helps us out a lot and let us know what's going on. Hello.
Hi.
So
Brenda also said hi for the people on the podcast.
Yeah.
Sorry, we said hi again.
So, gosh, I think you're going to have to start with, is there anything that this devotional brings to mind?
Tons of things.
With you, what's one or more of the things that it comes to mind?
One of the most significant things that comes to mind, I want to do actually after we do the discussion about Babel. So you want to bring up the Babel scripture? Or is there something else you want to bring up first?
No, I think it's best after that, because that really does bring home a lot of more thought to this devotional. I think it really ties it together really well.
And so remember this line, because I think this is such good advice for us. It is only when things are out of order that God brings confusion. And that is because he is the builder of divine order and never brings confusion to his order. Mm-hmm. So when you are living in alignment with God, there shouldn't be confusion and chaos. It is only when we're out of order that we feel confusion and chaos.
Right.
Doesn't mean no difficulty, but it shouldn't feel confusing and chaotic.
Like 2 + 2 = 5. There's 30 genders.
Yeah.
And
that's obviously not from God.
We could go on.
So this is Genesis 11, 1 through 9, the Tower of Babel. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of man had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one and they have one language, and this is what they begin to do. God is clearly not happy. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there, from all over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth.
My first question is, who is God talking to? Who is the Lord talking to?
He's talking to the believers, and the Lord said. Genesis is believed to be transcribed by Moses. So Moses is recounting these stories, even though he wasn't alive.
Yeah, let's just hear this one part where he says, come, and, come, let us go down.
Oh, that. He's talking to the angels.
Oh, okay. Yeah, his gang of angels.
Let us go down. God often, even in the Old Testament, referred to him in the plural. Mm. So, you know, Christ has existed since the beginning of time. So God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit have existed since before time. They're timeless, right?
So God was the creator of the posse.
Sometimes you say things I'm just stunned.
He brought his posse and said, let's go down there. Exactly. Come on, bros.
Let's go.
We're going to go scatter them about and we're going to change their language. They don't even know how to talk to each other.
Yes.
Him and his posse. All right, continue. Why does that?
Yes, love.
Sorry. So continue. So we read the scripture. Now, yes. What is it that really?
I just have felt this at different points in my life where I just was confused. Mm. And my mentors often told me, especially since I've been in faith in Christ, that don't move. If things are chaotic and confusing, don't move, because that's not of the Lord. The Lord does not bring confusion. And the word of the Lord never comes back void. So when he wants you to move and to do something, you should hear it, feel it, and know it clearly. And I think that's another important part of the scripture. Is it James 1:6? No, I think it was James 1:5 that was saying that he speaks through his word. Where were we? No, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hmm. So it's so important to stay in the word, because the Lord will speak to us through the scripture.
You have an example of chaos that you can share that you were going through? What?
Yeah, producing my movie. Huh? I went through a bunch of different iterations, and at times I was so confused about the direction, who should participate, the producer, and there were moments of clarity, and then I moved and then the clarity stopped and I stopped because it just didn't, it seemed totally chaotic. Same with people I was dating, that where it suddenly went like, I suddenly ended up on a roller coaster ride and I was like, whoa, I'm getting off this coaster. This is not of God. And that's what all my mentors taught me. They're like, it is not of God when it's chaos.
Wow. So how was it clear?
Yeah, of course you're going to take it to us. And remember, let's not confuse excitement with chaos. Mm-hmm. So chaos meant that like things suddenly went upside down, where it's whether you're fighting all the time or you have substantial disagreements about direction. Some of these people had substantial disagreements about faith. Mm-hmm. And so it suddenly felt completely wrong. And even though the person on the other end was like, what's wrong? I was like, whoa, no, this feels, I'm nauseous. Like this is not, this doesn't feel right anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. And very different with us though. We had difficult circumstances that entered. I never felt like, oh my God, this is wrong. It was just, and now, and I, that actually takes me to my next point about this devotional, which he's saying, don't ask for something 1,000 times to the point where you don't even know what you're asking, where you're just constantly like, heal me, heal me, heal me. Or, you know, is this right? Am I going the right way? I never find myself right now asking if God, if I'm going the right way. I know I'm in his will. Like, I know what it feels like when I'm not. And so all I pray for every day is, oh, give me the strength. Like I'm suffering from restlessness, anger, my temperament, sadness, whatever it is. And I'm like, Lord, please fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me through this sadness or these emotions or feelings that are coming and going and disturbing my peace. But I never keep going. I don't go keep going back to him going, am I on the wrong way? Like, why is this so difficult? I must be on the wrong way. Like, I am sure of what he has said to me. And that's just, that's an amazing source of peace. So.
I feel you. You know, that really was the difference that began this new journey with God. That prior to my experience in Salt Lake City, where God appeared in the Marriott in a conference room, that I was always asking for stuff. I was always going, please. And I was even going to the Crystal Cathedral, which is now a Catholic church, strangely enough. Crystal Cathedral used to be a Christian church. It was a very famous one.
Oh.
And it's next to the courtroom where I was going through my divorce, and would go in there and go, you know, can you please make this easy? Can you please get her to stop? Can you please make the judge see it my way? Can you, I was always asking for stuff. And then I would go home and say, could you bring me a woman that is not crazy? Can you bring me, can you make me less crazy?
Did he answer that? I don't know.
I'm a little nutty. I was asking for something. Like, could you, please. And my name was not Jimmy. But it wasn't until the trip, you know, the days before I went to Salt Lake City for this event where I did not plan on seeing God. I was there to look at CBD products and skincare products. and then you know, the message or whatever you want to call it, the little bit of a, you know, the church, we did a little bit of church on Sunday in a conference room, that the days previous to that, that I had finally just said, you know what?
I surrender.
You know, I just said, God, I've asked, I haven't got, and I go, there's probably a reason, good reason why. And I first said, I'm sorry for, you know, I repented and I just said, whatever's in my future is in my future. And I will just trust you. And again, this was before he appeared to me. And I'd finally, maybe 57, I think at the time, 57 years of age, I had finally figured out, not through scripture, just because I don't know why. It just obviously Holy Spirit, you know, entered and said, hey, do you want to try this? And like whispered to me in my sleep. And I just surrendered and stopped asking.
Well, you had to be in that place, right?
Yeah.
You had to be ready.
Nothing was working out.
Because of all things you were asking for.
Business, life. And again, I wasn't poor. I mean, I had things. I'm not saying that, you know, that I just went homeless or anything like that. I mean, so I was pretty thankful for what I had. I had healthy kids, you know, 5 healthy kids. Yes. And in a home and a roof over my head, that kind of stuff. And I said, you know what? I'm going to be content with what I have. And see where God leads me. And I stopped babbling. I was babbling. I was leading Bible studies. I was speaking on stage as a Christian man. I was babbling a lot. And God's going,
lesson for the day, folks. Stop babbling. I mean, you wonder sometimes, I love this also where Smith says, God never gives you and then says, what are you asking me for again? What did you do with the last thing I gave you? He never complains about how much he gives us liberally. Like, can you imagine if he came back like a parent and said, I gave you $20 last week. What'd you do with it? I mean, never, you know? So we have to believe when he gives it, it's because he ordained it. And if he withholds it, it's because it's all in his timing and you want to be in his will. It's a blessing when he doesn't give you certain things. Have you seen that now?
Yeah.
Right? Can you look back at some of the things that you were begging for, and are you grateful he didn't give them?
Yeah.
There's one in particular. But yeah, it's
yeah, I know for sure my prayers, as I have learned, it's not that it just came to me. It's not like I'm a Christian genius. I mean, people have been saying, like, stop praying for stuff for yourself. Pray for others. And like Brenda says here, she says, yes, I ask him for strength all the time.
Yes.
And wisdom. Give me wisdom. Don't give me a thing. Just you give me the wisdom to do the right thing, to do the thing that Amen. Honors you. And we ask in our prayers all the time before we go live on the devotional is give us the words and share with us, you know, whatever your will is. And
absolutely
don't say, hey, I need you to really make me sound smart today. Obviously, I've never asked that.
You're cute. Of course you do.
I say, give me the words. Give me
his words, yeah, right? Yeah. We want his words. We want to convey to people what he wants them to hear, not what we want to hear. What we want people to hear is worthless.
Yeah.
It's what does he want them to hear? It's so important. I had a very interesting conversation that I haven't shared with you yet today that I can share on the broadcast.
All right.
I've been debating. So me and the Holy Spirit, we have these conversations sometimes in the back of my head. And he tells me to do something. And I'm like, no, that's really not a good idea. And he's like, no, it's a good idea. And I'm like, no, it's not a good idea. So I'm going to go for it because he's kind of prodding me to do it.
I'm excited. Usually I do this to you.
Right?
Well, now I'm going to know how it feels.
Well, it's just kind of, and it's not something about you. So you don't have to get you don't have to get panicked, but it's the scripture. And I want to bring up the scripture, which is in particular about those who it's John 10:1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Mm-hmm. And so I had this long conversation with my sister-in-law.
Oh.
who was a Christian, a believing Christian, grew up in the church, mm-hmm. Armenian Orthodox Church, and then converted to Islam for my brother. And I don't want to divulge anything about her personally, but we were talking about why my brother's upset at me. And so she was explaining that he felt that I had reached such an important stature in Islam, and that if I had decided to leave, that's fine. You know, I could do what I want, but why did I have to leave so publicly? Why do I have to come and become so outspoken, for Christ? And I was trying to explain to her that the reason I do that is because I am not interested in just saving myself. I want to save as many other people as possible. Mm-hmm. And I don't want them going through the window, because that's a thief or a robber. There's only one way. There's only one way. And I cannot keep that to myself,
right?
That there's only one way. And we were talking about praying and like constantly asking for God, like, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? Because that's, you know, the state of mind that she's in. And I was trying to convey to her gently, it's because you're out of order. Like when you fall into order and go back to the Lord Jesus Christ and your life is in alignment with the one true God, you won't feel this chaos.
Right.
Similar to your own experience, right? Where you're just, it doesn't matter what coming out of a false religion or just not having a relationship with Christ, mm-hmm. whatever it is if you do not have the right relationship with God, your life feels out of order. And that's a mercy. That's a mercy from him, because wow. he's trying to draw you closer. And I wouldn't give that up for anything.
Does she have a response?
She says, she giggled and she said, that's why he doesn't want to talk to you. I was like, so be it. And she's like, oh, and she said, he's afraid you'll take all the kids with you. And I was like, I actually pray for that every single day.
Yeah, I plan on that.
I said, if I got a chance, I'd take all of them with me. Unfortunately, I can't grant faith, but I definitely, right. I said, everybody I know prays for it. My pastor prays for it. My husband prays for it. My friends pray for it. So yes.
Oh yeah.
I'm gunning for the kids. Absolutely.
Yesterday we were at Calvary Chapel, Chuna Hills with Pastor Jack Kibbs. And after the message, which was the third of four services, he was out there, you know, near the fountain, which is in front of the sanctuary. And I happened to be in the doorway, and he came and just gave me the biggest hug and did that same, that very thing.
Yes.
You know, prayed for your dad's salvation to come to Christ.
Amen.
Who is a, you know, born in Persia or in Iran. I called it Persia. It's the same thing. And a very strong Muslim faith, right?
Yes.
And yeah, that would be miraculous. Almost. Well, yeah. Equally as a miraculous of Jordan Peterson.
Yes.
Came to Christ. And that is what we are to do.
Absolutely. Don't want to be coming through the windows of the door or some other way, like a thief or a robber. The only way you come to God in right standing with God is through his son. Full stop. Mic drop.
Wow. All right. Anybody else have any thoughts? Or Brenda is commenting and gives us another heart. She apparently loved what you said.
Oh, thank you, Brenda.
But anybody else including Brenda, if you have any more, do you have any experiences like this where you had chaos and then in the calm of everything, you began to hear God a little bit more? That's the other thing. And I'm not sure if that was mentioned at all in any of the stuff we were talking about, that in the chaos, it's harder to hear God.
Exactly.
It's harder to hear Holy Spirit. It's because you are too busy.
Yes.
With yourself.
With you.
It's like, what is that? What is the thing that they use in the Bible? The clanging pots and pans.
Without love, you are just a clanging symbol.
It is impossible to hear the Holy Spirit speak to you because he speaks gently when you have the clanging of cymbals in your noggin because of everything that you are going, God, you know what? I worked really hard. I led a Bible study today. And I put stuff in the boxes that are good, boxes of love over at Yorba Linda Friends Church. I went to the grocery store and filled a box full of love.
And then you got
give me just a little love.
You got a sandwich thrown at you.
I got a sandwich.
By the homeless guy.
Yes.
I don't want your dumb sandwich. Take your box of love.
Yes. I really did think about all those things. I mean, I'm not even joking.
I know.
I was walking around going,
You know how many Christians are like you?
Son of a gun. The clanging symbols of my busyness, of my work. I was doing tons of work. Couldn't you see that?
I love the way Smith says that. You can ask 1,000 times to the point where you don't even understand what you're saying anymore. And you think God's going down there listening, going like, oh my God, what is wrong with this? Stop. What are you doing? You know?
Jan French says, Pastor Jack is my favorite pastor too.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's so funny because I'm a very manly man. I don't know if you know that or can tell, but
whatever. He's toxically masculine.
Yeah, but yes, I for sure have a lot of masculine toxicity. Ooh, that was good. That was really hard. I had to really think about that to get that
tongue
up.
Tongue twister.
But what I'm saying is, in response to her message, is that we've talked about my dad a little bit here. My dad was not born in World War II. He was a soldier in World War II. He was born in 1919. He was a soldier in World War II. And just from that era, I share with that because that people from that era was that, you know, just very strong men. Like just think of General Patton. If you ever saw Patton, the movie, that's how I grew up.
The Mexican version. Okay, folks, I want you to picture a Mexican General Patton.
Right. Orale. Carro. And he, that was probably, yeah. So anyway, you know, there wasn't a lot of love. Like I think maybe once he said it, he loved me, but that was when I graduated from the police. I don't even think he said it then. He said he was proud of me, which was as close to I love you as he could have. He never told me he was proud of me. So it's just, that's how, you know, so if he even spanked me, I refused to cry.
Right.
Right. And there was a lot of spankings, not because I was bad.
Oh God, heaven forbid.
So my point is, I mean, I really felt like crying is like not good. That's kind of how I raised. But more recently, I've been getting a little bit soft-hearted. I've cried on this
numerous occasions,
but I've never cried when a man hugged me. That's really weird. But when Pastor Jack hugged me yesterday, I got a little like, whoo, I got a little emotional because it was such, I mean, he saw me, he got this big smile on his face and he like kind of like walked quickly over to me and just like, there was no, like, you know how, you know, the man like that. And I thought, you know, none of that. It was just, he was like so bear beautiful. Hugging me and just, and I'm going, and I got a little,
That's so cute.
So I just wanted, but when Jan said Pastor Jack is my favorite pastor too, is like, I go, I know, I don't, he, apparently he's mine too. So I hope that was okay to share.
Yeah.
But it's just a softening of the heart. I mean, God has really softened my heart, not in a bad way. Just so you understand. I know there's men and women. That's it. There's only two and the two belong together. No other way. So just understand, I've not changed my mind on that, but and he's sincere and real. And that's what I like about him. Yeah. See, I even got a little, hiccup in my throat there.
But that's the same. I think that's what he's exhibiting to us as parishioners too, is that you could be a great patriot, a great Christian, a great father and a grandfather and a husband, and you can still hug other men.
Yeah.
You know, like that doesn't suddenly make you less masculine, and having emotions and kindness and compassion, fruit of the spirit, kindness, gentleness, forbearance, self-control.
Look at you, little teacher.
I love it. I pray for it all the time.
You know, my favorite part of this devotional is when we sit here, that you've lowered your chair. So it looks like I'm taller than you.
I know. I did that on purpose for you. Were I to make the chairs equal, folks, it would look a little funny.
Yesterday, she brought some Halloween decorations right out in front where I'm staring right there, the Halloween decorations. And she goes, let's hang it on the tree. And there's this branch that was obviously a little high. And she goes, she's like, looks at me and she goes, I got this. I go, oh, I was just going to go get the ladder. And she didn't need the ladder.
And you're still masculine. You're still super masculine.
I'm mad enough to say, well, I'm glad you got that, because right. I would have gone into the garage, open the garage door, bring the ladder out. And
I gotcha.
You saved me all that work.
I gotcha.
Phew.
I'm the helper. God made me the helper.
I appreciate that. Priscilla really loved the Mexican version of General Patton. Generalissimo Patron.
Hi, Priscilla. Nice to see you.
Have you noticed, is it the opposite for women in the strength of God? You guys get stronger because you are pretty strong in some emotional times. I've seen you cry at church and that kind of stuff, but do you feel that God has given you strength?
I'm sorry, I'm giggling because
I get really emotional.
This is actually the soft version of me. Really? That's why I'm giggling, because I was a hard, you know what? I mean, I was like I told you, people referred to me as, you have the strength of 10 men. I was, you know, my brother always referred to me as a warrior. Like, don't mess with my sister, she's a warrior. Yeah, I'm sure he still says that about me.
Okay.
So I was a notoriously hard person all my life.
No.
And so now when people say,
this is the softer version.
I have friends that tell me, oh my God, you're so sweet. And I'm like, I giggle. I laugh so hard because I'm like, oh my God, that is literally one word that has never been used to describe me except since I've come to Christ.
Yeah. So both of us.
Yes.
I don't believe I cried until I was probably 45 years old.
Wow.
I mean, as long as I remember, even as a kid, I mean, my dad would spank me pretty good with a belt. He would always have me go get the belt, and I'd get the fattest one because he always wanted me to get the thin one. Yeah. He had multiple belts. He goes, why'd you bring me the wide one? Go back in there and bring me the, man.
I'm sorry.
I had books in my pants. Aww. And he didn't know the three times that I had the books in my pants, he didn't know.
Oh.
Because I didn't cry, but I didn't want it to hurt either.
Right. I mean, rightfully so. Rightfully so.
But yeah, I mean, it was, it just wasn't a thing.
To cry?
Yeah. I think I was all the way up to about six, I did, because I remember I was afraid of dying. But then all of a sudden I was able to turn it off and
but
it stopped.
If you were to go through a therapy regarding that one issue in and of itself, and I think that's what the Lord transforms and renews our mind, is that that was a survival mechanism. You stop crying to survive.
Absolutely.
Because of what I was going through, my life was so difficult that if I started to think about it or cry, I would lose it. I always felt like I would be on the brink of a nervous breakdown if I actually sat and thought about everything that was going on. Oh, wow. I went to therapy for about 2 years just to unpack all of that.
Wow.
So it's a survival mechanism. And so Christ comes and says, hey, son, hey, daughter, you don't need to do that anymore. I've got you, you know, and I'm going to now remake you with my strength, which means the soldier of Christ is one that has that discipline and kindness and love and compassion and still stands their ground.
Right.
You know what I mean? But does it in a completely different way, in a transformed, in a Christ-centered way. Very different, right? So you still exert strength and you still stand your ground, but
you're taking me back. So sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you take me back to some very important things that happened.
Oh, do you want to share? No.
No, I will.
Okay.
I mean, when you talk about the holding it in, the damage it does, it really, for me, it really
comes out.
It really is what caused my anxiety and depression.
Exactly.
Because I wasn't releasing it in a normal way. I was repressing it. Was that the right word?
Yeah.
Repressing, holding it in. And you're taking me to a time where, do you remember me telling you? And I have no problem telling you of my mental issues because most people hide their mental issues, especially men. And it was not until I went to therapy like you that some of these things worked themselves out. But I told you about this, that I was at work one day at the Anaheim Police Department.
Yeah, well, you ended up in a completely different place.
Yeah.
You didn't know how you got there.
I did. Yeah. All of a sudden, there was a lot of stress. I had been in a shooting. I had a baby that was in a car that was alive when the car caught on fire. And then when I got there, I wasn't able to get the baby out because the car was completely engulfed in flames. It's when I was driving up, they said, the baby's in there. We could hear the baby crying when I arrived.
Wow.
And then by the time I got out of my car and got to the car, the car was completely in flames. So that had happened. So shooting that one, and then the stabbing where the mother was stabbed. And then when I kicked the door open to get inside the room, the baby, the young child, it was a toddler, was on the bloody body of the mom, pulling on her shirt, trying to get her to get up. And she wasn't get up. She survived for a little while and then died later.
And the mom or the daughter?
The mom. The daughter was unhurt, but she was full of blood. We thought that she had got stabbed too, but she was just so full of mom's blood. So it was these things in occurrence that kept happening. Then all of a sudden, something happened at work with a supervisor and I blacked out.
Yep, that's what the brain does. It shuts down to survive the trauma.
Yes. And that was the mechanism. And that's what the psychiatrist told me. So what happened after that was that when I lived in Riverside County, I worked in Anaheim, which was Orange County. Somehow after my blackout, I had appeared in a parking lot in San Bernardino, having no idea how I got there all by myself. And I forgot even how I got a hold of my wife at the time and said, I don't know where I'm at. I'm in a parking lot. And then I finally asked somebody and they said, I was in San Bernardino.
Wow.
I was a grown man. Like all of a sudden,
I
it's almost like I magically disappeared from the police department and I woke up and then like blinked my eyes and I appeared in San Bernardino.
Crazy.
Well, I got to the house and that was when I broke down and just, I think I cried probably 30 years of tears that I had held in and I could not stop. You just brought me back to that. I never thought about that.
Really?
Until just now. I remember being in the kitchen in my house in Riverside and was in the kitchen. And I don't know if Courtney's mom said something like, what happened to you? And it triggered the
avalanche.
The avalanche of cry. I mean, hysterical. Like I couldn't even catch my breath. Kind of like when I was 10 years old when I thought about dying. And it was where you couldn't like for probably an hour afterwards, I couldn't catch my breath. Wow. I don't know why you just brought me to that time. And it just was, and that was the, the moment after that. But the then after that, the visits to the psychiatrist and the process of being hypnotized and some other stuff, he brought it all about. And he said, you were trying in your own manner, in your own strength, blocking the thoughts of emotion.
Absolutely.
You were blocking that.
Yeah.
At some point, your brain takes over like it did at the police department, and it goes and it says, listen, we can't trust you any longer.
Right.
You are done, and snapped. And I went out, kind of blackout, and it was the brain's mechanism of saving me.
Yes.
Saving my mind from total breakdown. And
absolutely.
And what a discussion we're having in front of just it all. Has come together. So, I mean, it's come the chaos. If we get back to the chaos.
Right. No, or now it's important that we still continue to look back because see, those are mental wounds. Mm-hmm. Christ heals our spirit, but he needs us to invite him into our minds to heal that too.
Wow.
So in other words, we need to hand our mind over to him, process those thoughts and allow him to make us new. Because he can make our spirit new without our help. But the heart and the mind to catch up requires us to invite him in. And that's why a lot of deliverance ministries are about revisiting the curses and the strongholds to break them. Because in order to hand them over to the Lord, you have to acknowledge them.
Right.
You know, and so I had to go through, I had a problem with codependent, very, very abusive and nonsensical codependent relationships. And my therapist and me were trying to get to the root of why I kept doing that. And my rational mind, like yours makes you black out and go and have a nervous breakdown. Mine was telling me, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to stick with it. So even though my heart was saying, please get me out of here, my mind was like, we're not listening to you. You're untrustworthy.
Yeah.
We're going to tell you what to do. And so, and that's how you end up in places where you just like, how did I end up here? How did I get here? You know?
Wow. What a discussion. I don't know if this speaks to any of you or not, but I guess a revelation.
Yes.
Of my life just went back and remembered something that I had completely shut out and wanted to forget. Yeah. It was wow. But again, God being the great healer, the work with the psychiatrist, the work with all this guys, surely is the hand of God in bringing the right person. Because I'd been to other counselors and none of it ever helped. Yeah, it was horrible. but it really wasn't until the last couple of years when I've really became born again and allowed the Holy Spirit to dwell inside me that things began
so
to change.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So it's awesome. Wow. Awesome. Thank you for having my little psychiatry, my psychiatry moment.
It's all him.
You. Oh yeah. Brenda says, thank you for sharing your experience. It just comes out. And thank you for that. That really helps because sometimes we never know if we're just saying stuff and nobody really is getting anything out of it.
That's
so
the thing of online ministry. You have no idea whether anybody's affected, helped,
And from day one, I'd always shared with people that I do these devotionals because they help me.
Yes.
Help me learn. You guys help me learn by your questions and your comments.
I'm going to bring up one more instant just to prove to you that this was God that brought this revelation to you.
Yes.
Me and Andy were watching Nine Perfect Strangers. Oh. And it's a really weird kind of psychedelic show. But at one point in the show, the star invites these very troubled people to take psychedelics. And the idea is that they are going to revisit the most traumatic moments of their life to basically make peace with them. And at one point, my therapist asked me, she's like, hey, do you want to have one of these experiences? I can monitor you. It'll be safe. It's microdosing, blah, blah, blah. And we'll visit some of the really deep rooted trauma. And I said, no, thank you. I'm at this point, because I'd already come to Christ at this point. And I was like, no, I'm leaving it to Jesus. It'll all work itself out. And if you recall, so I'm telling Andy the story, but if you recall, at that instant, you said to me, no, I think I'd want to know. Like, I'd wanted to have the shroom experience. Well, that's the Lord. he gave you a non-shroom experience, a shroom experience without shrooms, without the psychedelics.
Just now. Yeah.
You wanted to know some of the roots of some of these very, very deep-seated issues, and he just gave it to you.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
I had nothing. I'm just here as a, you know, I'm just a participant. It's all him.
Why you're my partner.
He answered your request.
I just went through some of those calls. There were more. I remember I had another memory just hit me as I remember Hank Fontes, a guy that I went to the academy with. He started with Orange County Sheriff and then eventually came to Anaheim. And so we knew each other really well. And he knew, you know, everybody knows what calls you're on because you hear what other calls people are going on. And then suddenly you're going 99999 or I need a 997, which means you're in a shooting or you're in a foot pursuit or, you know, you hear all this activity. So I was canine at the time. And he comes to me, you know, after shift one day, he goes, dude, the last 3 days, I go, what is going on?
Are you trying to kill yourself?
Yeah, yeah. You're going to shootings. You're in a shooting. You're in a car's on fire with a baby inside. You're in another call. You're what is going on? I'm glad I don't ride with you. He just showed that goes, man, it's like you have, but in canine, you don't have a specific area. You respond to all the calls that are in progress.
But so technically you didn't have to respond to all of those.
Well, that was my job.
You weren't like a thrill junkie, huh? You weren't like purposely.
Well, no, you love going to those. I mean, to the calls like robbery in progress, a foot pursuit, you know, the helicopter says we got a guy with a gun. You go. I mean, you just, it becomes your thing.
Yeah.
But I just remember Hank Fontes stopping me and saying, bro.
Dude.
Yeah, like, man, he goes, yeah, I'm glad you have a couple of days off because, you know, we can't keep up with you. That was so funny. Joe Daly says Muslims are right about Christ not being God. The Father is God.
Oh, I don't even know how to.
Can you unpack that?
Hi, Joe. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three manifestations of one God. So Muslims are absolutely not right about Christ because they say Christ was just a prophet. So it is what the Lord creates, the devil counterfeits. And so the religion of Islam is based on a counterfeit ideology about Christ. And it stems from taking parts of the Bible and not taking the concept of the crucifixion, which is an essential tenet of the Bible, and making a false religion out of that teaching. And so we have to understand the triune, the Trinity of God, to truly understand the God of the Bible. Hmm. So I'm sorry, I have to disagree with you.
Joe Daly is responding from YouTube. He's obviously watching us on YouTube. The other thing that comes to mind with Joe's comment is Pastor Jack Hibbs, his recounting of an incident that occurred in Israel.
Yes.
With a
Jewish Hasidic Jew.
Hasidic Jew who said, get out of here
with your Jesus,
with your Jesus. And and then Jack was able to fire back Old Testament scripture prophecy that talked about the coming of Christ.
Yes.
And how would that be in the Old Testament, and how would it be so repeated in such great detail when Jesus actually walked the earth and was crucified?
Yes.
And came back to earth. And it was a really, that was an amazing story. I was so jealous and wished of, I would have been there to see that happen.
Yes. Have the ability to do that.
Yeah. If I could pull up that, that part of yesterday's message from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, Joe, I would, and I would share it with you, but I would say go, I don't know if he repeats it for all of the messages,
no.
So I can't guarantee that you'd be able to find it, but, it was a great, great message on that. But we do appreciate comments like that. So, Joe, if you wouldn't mind, if you have any more comments or thoughts on what Hedy had to say, feel free to do so and continue to watch. And maybe someday you'll see that Jesus is God.
Absolutely. God incarnate. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word came down to earth wrapped in flesh.
Yeah.
And that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Love that stuff. And I love how you just jump in. You notice like you,
I lost family members over this.
The one I lean back and you go in like, okay, how do you handle that?
Yeah. All day to Sunday, folks.
Awesome.
Priscilla said, that speaks to me. It's insightful. Our minds do take over, and I've been there too. Mm-hmm. And it's so unfortunate how many of us women have done that. The codependent relationships are actually with really strong women because the mind overrides your instinct, your discernment, and it basically suffocates what you know to be truth. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate that even believing women could go through that because they basically suffocate the voice of the Lord that says, daughter, I don't want that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Jan was saying Nabil Qureshi books are so good. Jan, I was telling Andy the other day when people talk about Jordan Peterson, Jordan Peterson is now coming to faith possibly, and he refers to C.S. Lewis, who was a great who was such a great scholar of Christianity, but started as an atheist as well. And so I am not surprised that literature resonates with him, but that's what Nabil Qureshi did for me, because his Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, because I'm a student of Islamic theology, really, really spoke to me. It solidified my faith because he was able to very clearly articulate where Islam was false, based on Islamic theology and what he knew from Islamic theology as well. So what a great soul. The earth will miss him.
Especially when the Bible talks about how God is a loving God.
Yes.
And in your case, he was not.
Well, God, the word love is in Arabic is hub, and it's never actually mentioned in the Quran.
Oh, really?
The Book of Muslims. Yes.
Well, there you go.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, there's so many directions I go. I already see we're at 51 minutes, but I'm just thinking about, I've had the show in mind about domestic violence calls as police officers that we go on. And then as a detective, I was responsible for domestic violence cases. Mm-hmm. And what you were just speaking about is just that thing. Like they would be, you know, just beat up, abused yeah. and just, you know, I'd get the reports and we'd also have to listen to the 911 call be recorded. And so when we got a case, they'd also send us a 911 call and you'd hear the victim, you know, making that phone call saying he's going to kill me. And you hear like stuff happening, you know, rawr, like the man so angry and stuff breaking in the background. And then the next day she would call, she goes, I think you are in charge of one of my cases. It's all my fault. And, you know, if you could just, you know, drop the charges, I don't want him to, you know, face the charges. If you wouldn't mind, yeah. It would be like, wait a minute, do you want me to play the, and I'd hit the, you know, we used to have the old thing, you hit the button and I'd play, this is you last night,
right?
You know, and try to play for him. But
the mind takes over.
Yeah.
And will get you to do things. I mean, my therapist asked me that question constantly. Why? Why'd you stay? Mm-hmm. What made you do it? And the only way we could get at the root of why is that she would ask me questions. She would make me sit there and say, what are you feeling right now? Mm-hmm. And ask me questions about my daughter. Well, what does it feel like to be sad? I mean, she'd say, close your eyes. She's like, don't speak. Just tell me what it feels like to be sad. She's like, are you sad? And I'm like, no. She's like, do you know what sadness feels like? And I said, no. Like I literally could not process what sadness was. And she's like, your mind has so overtaken your existence that you can't even process emotions anymore. And that's oftentimes what abuse victims go through in codependent relationships is in the moment they'll cry for help, but later the mind takes over and says, no,
it was my fault.
It's my fault.
Yeah.
You need to, this is what you need to do. Because you need this man for your living or whatever mm-hmm. it may be. And you need to stuff those emotions in the closet where they belong. Mm-hmm. And you just go right back at it.
And they begin to believe the lie that he's telling them.
Yes.
That you're not worth anything, that you're worthless, that you're a horrible person, a horrible exactly. mom, horrible wife. And
convincing you that you can't go anywhere else and that you'll never be able to do anything else and no one else will ever take you and that you're broken and that you're damaged. And
Yep. It's almost repeated in almost every domestic violence call.
Yeah.
And we think about, oh my gosh, her name's escaping me. The young girl that was found strangled and her boyfriend just recently found, Brian. He found.
They found out he did it?
Well, I don't know. They found his body. I haven't really found out. You know, we talked about this before where as a police officer, sometimes we have our idea. Gabby, thank you. We find. The body of the man who we've now suspected of being the murderer, but we can't you have to be open to the aspect that he may have been murdered along with like her. Gabby was in right. there, but we know we have a really good, strong suspicion of what's going on. But that it's so difficult as you see the cops working, you know, on the scene with Gabby before she was murdered and with Brian. And so many people make so many judgments about what they should have done and what they didn't do. All these kinds of things. And I'm telling you, we go as a police officer to probably 10, we can go on as many as 10 domestic violence calls a night, making these decisions. Do we arrest the wife? Do we arrest the husband? Do we not arrest? Do we make them go somewhere, call a cab for somebody or an Uber and say, right. Go somewhere. And there's so many decisions being made because not all of them end up in murder. I mean, that's the deal. In a work week, you can handle 30 domestic violence calls and do that for months and never wind up with a dead body, right? So you begin to think, well, just separating them for a moment, they'll cool down and then they'll sort things out and then they'll go on with their merry way and maybe have a great marriage. You never know which one.
Yeah.
So we can make all these judgments calls from watching the film or the, and I do this a lot. I look at a lot of videotape of cops at work and making judgments, right? About what they did and what they should have done and all this kind of stuff. So I understand. I do. That's what I do for a living. And it's not that easy when you're faced with it as a cop, especially when she did the same thing. She says, oh, it was my fault or I started it. Yes. I hit him first when maybe she never even really did hit him.
Right.
And so anyway, we got a whole subject there, but that is the denial that sometimes women fall into.
And so Priscilla says, that's what my mom did to me. I wasn't worthy and lovable and I was unlovable and stupid. I'm so sorry to hear that, Priscilla, because as a Christ follower too, we realize that those, I was explaining this to Andy the other day, it's interesting you brought this up because he went through that actually, quite frankly, with his parents, mostly his dad too, is that those we understand in Christian terminology as curses. So instead of putting blessings on our children, we put curses. And when we walk with the Lord, we present those curses to him so that he could remove them. So it's really important in prayer and in communion when you're meditating and speaking to God that you reveal those, that they're in your consciousness so he can remove them, because they're literally generational curses that we will carry forward and put onto our children as well. And so for me, it was my dad did the opposite. He was always like, you're amazing. You're amazing. Can you do a little more? You're amazing. Can you do a little more? And so I never felt I had done enough. And so that's why my mental process was just keep doing, just keep doing, just keep doing. Mm-hmm. And eventually it'll work out till I broke from all the doing. And so I had to remove the generational curses that I couldn't, that enough wasn't enough, you know, that I could stand still and I could be good and I could be, you know. And then I had men speak over me that I was too strong for any man to ever love me. Mm. And the Lord, when I came, constantly told me, daughter, don't ever believe that lie. Don't put that lie on yourself. You are my daughter. You are capable of loving and you are capable of being loved. And you have done all of these things in life. You think you can't run a family? Of course you can run a family. All of these things, these conversations that I've had to have with him again to renew my mind. He's taking care of our salvation, but it's a process of being in relationship with him to cure the illnesses of our mind. Mm.
Priscilla just reminded me of something here. That's what I struggle most with, because as a small, impressionable child, you believe what you're being told.
Not only as a child, Priscilla, but we grow up carrying those things exactly. with us.
Exactly.
You know, like we just end up, and that's why they say people who are abused either end up as abusers or do the exact opposite because of the trauma. And so you just don't want to keep passing these patterns on to our children and to our loved ones, because we didn't heal from those patterns. Yep. Acknowledge them and release them over to the Lord.
Yep. Just had another revelation. And I think I thought about it, but without the psychedelics. And that is that the reason that now I think that I spent the 20 some odd years as a man walking through a church pretending I was Christian was that relationship again with the Father, not my human father, but my God, the Father.
Right.
And almost having the same relationship
Yes.
In that I was asking for things and not getting them. I didn't feel like he had enough enough love for me, or I wasn't worthy of his love. And that's how I felt with my earthly dad, is that I was never worthy of his love. He never gave me his love. And I was always trying to get his love and, right. and never got it. And I thought that was happening with now this God. And I go, gosh, and this one's even more powerful. Now what do I have to do in order? And I wanted love. All right. You want a father to love.
Yes.
I was, and you, the reason I was thinking about this, because you said as a child, and you said it perfectly. It's not just as a child. I'm a 40-year-old man,
right?
A cop, training cops all over the world. Like, I had some authority because of what I was doing, and I was still looking for the approval of my father, yes. God, and I felt like I couldn't get it. It wasn't until I just gave it over to him and said, I understand now. After all these years, is that I just have to hand it all over to you, and that you do love me. And then when Jack says, God loves you, Mark Driscoll over at Trinity Church, he's a superman, right? He's man. And he says, God loves you. God loves me unconditionally. And it really begins to resonate. And I go, and I now finally have this father that loves me more than anything in this world.
Amen.
And has given me you, and has given me, made me cancer free, has saw me through COVID and given me these fantastic kids and a new child that I love as much as I love my own children. Oh. He's a loving God. And I finally have him. And whether it was, I wish I would have had him as a child, but I have him now as an older man.
Yes.
And I'm thankful for that. I don't care that I waited 59 years to figure out that God loves me.
At least he figured it out. Right? And he will restore what the locust stole.
Yes.
He will restore it.
Wow. What a night. What do we have to eat? Priscilla says, yep, I still care. Yes, Priscilla. If I could take you to that place, if I could share, I wish I had packaged it. What had happened to me before Salt Lake City, that Jesus appeared to me and said, like, almost looked at me and said, what took you so long? Like, dude, I've been trying to tell you this for so long.
But
he was just standing there in front of me, and I just, like, I could feel his face. I could see it today.
Do you remember the way Jack described it? He's like, you need to peel away. He needs to peel away the things that protect us. So for me, he had to take all my friends, mm-hmm. take away my entire social network, take away the city, the job, the life, wow. everything, strip me down to nothing till he could say, okay, daughter, I'm here. I love you. And I'm going to rebuild you from scratch. Mm. I even had these visions. If you could picture this, if it's helpful to you, do you remember the $6 million man or the bionic woman, mm-hmm. where they were so badly damaged in an accident? But when the surgeons went in, they put these big metal rods and plates, so they rebuild them to be superhuman strength.
Yep.
And so that's the image God was giving to me, is that I'm rebuilding you with superhuman strength. You're going to have my strength now. I'm rebuilding you from scratch, and I can do that.
And I will live inside you.
And I will live inside you. And you will be the superhuman, because you're going to be my human.
Love that. We are two superhumans.
And so are all of you.
Yes, not just us. Priscilla says,
but as a mother, I did the opposite to my children. Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Always told them they were worthy and I loved them and they could do anything they put their minds to. That's really beautiful. And I was able to raise my children that way only through the strength God has given me. That's so beautiful.
Yep. And just one last thing, and that is the change in me also is with the kids. Now, I've always loved them. I've always told them I loved them. I always kissed them, and I would visit them. If I got home too late and they were already in bed, I'd make sure and kiss them and that kind of stuff. But I was hardly ever there, physically and quite often mentally, not there for a period of time. And it wasn't until, again, the same moment, about 2.5 years ago now, maybe 3 years ago. I'm trying to remember exactly. I think it's 3 years ago. So it's been the last 3 years that I've been so different.
Yes.
Just more present. That's the biggest word. More present and want them to know that I always love them. Even when I'm angry, one of the things is I always say to them, I said, first of all, you have to know I love you more than anything in this world, is how I start sometimes when I'm really angry. And then, but you need to know, you know, you lie to me and it hurts me.
Right.
Because I love you. That hurts so bad because of the love I have for you.
Right.
So, yeah. So it took a miracle from God to bring me to a place that I was a much different father. And again, I wasn't like, I just always want to make sure I wasn't like abusive or anything. I just wasn't present.
Yes.
But my voice, okay. You tell me all the time, my voice sometimes is a little strong.
A little intimidating.
Go to bed.
Like, what did you say in the middle of the night last night? Do you remember? You were beating up some criminal. You were, oh, wow, it was scary. I jumped out of bed. He was like, get down, or because I don't know. He was handcuffing somebody.
Get on the ground, mother.
Yeah, and it was that voice, like up 10 decibels. I mean, it scared the skin off of me. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I was having a dream. I'm like,
the one thing they drill into you is command presence. If you don't have command presence, you'll lose every fight. You'll be in more fights and you will lose.
Yes.
Well, my therapy for tonight, Priscilla says.
Let's end with prayer.
Yes, that'd be awesome. Yes. Thank you. That was a heavy.
Yeah.
A long and heavy devotional.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to hand our burdens over to you, Lord. As you said, cast your cares onto me and I will give you rest. So we come to you, Lord. Asking for rest and asking for your peace that passes all understanding, for you do not give as the world gives. And that's what we need. We need your supernatural peace and your joy. And Lord, we rebuke the enemy that has put any curse or any stronghold over anyone that's listening to the sound of my voice. Break those strongholds, Lord. Send the enemy back to hell where he belongs, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the sake of the blood that runs through our veins. We are your sons and daughters, and we are asking those curses, those strongholds to be broken, Lord, and for you to loosen your spirit, your Holy Spirit, fall fresh on us. Give us your peace and your joy and your love that surpasses anything we could possibly imagine. Lord, heal all of those broken places in us, all of the broken places in our minds and our hearts. Fill our hollow places, Lord, with your hallowed name. Glory, glory, glory be to you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for everything that you have done to us. You are the God who was and is to come, Lord. Your word will never come back void. You will do all the things that you have promised for us. And we hold on to those promises. We know that your word never comes back void. And we hold on to those promises, Lord. And we ask that you bless our listeners, that you bless anybody who may listen to this into the future. All of our friends, our dear Priscilla, Jan, who was our first guest that was on with us. I don't want to forget her name. Brenda, our dear friend Brenda, Joe, everyone that was listening tonight, Lord, that you come into their hearts and move in a very miraculous way, the way only you can, Lord. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, your triune nature, God. You are a single God, and you are the only way. And we love you, and we thank you so much for your Son, for redeeming us and resurrecting us in his likeness, Lord. It's in his matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Whew. Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you more.
And we love you guys. Thank you for sticking with us. I know this was a long one, but hopefully you got something out of it. Maybe it was not only Priscilla's therapy, maybe somebody else.
I hope so.
If you think anybody could use this message tonight, please share it with them. That would be amazing. Sorry about one more comment. Amen. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Jen. God bless you. Have a great night.
All right. Take care.
Bye. Bye.